Hi, I'm Tamina, gender equality activist and sales professional at a global technology company. When I graduated from college in 2017, I was struggling to figure out how adulting works. School did not properly prepare me for some of the most basic things that my young professional life would eventually throw at me. If this sounds familiar, please join me on this journey to empower young women who are, just like myself, still in search of a fulfilling, purpose-driven life. Welcome to FemHive.
Hi, ladies. Today, I'm welcoming Bessent Shinoda to the FemHive podcast. Bessent's life purpose is to aid young professionals in becoming more resourceful and less fearful in creating opportunities for themselves. She is an incoming global sales associate at LinkedIn and the founder of #BessentBlast, her online identity, career, and personal branding consulting service. Bessent's content online has taught millions the value of online personal branding through content creation and storytelling since she was 21. She has gained 7 million views online and spoken in China, Nigeria, the United States, and Germany. On this episode, Bessent and I are going to talk about how to set yourself up for success as a young professional. Hi, Bessent. It's so good to have you.
Hi, so happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, let's just get started. I mean, Bessent, you have an incredible story to tell. You are from Egypt originally, of Coptic heritage, which you're really proud of, I know. About 5 years ago, you took a leap of faith and moved to Germany without family, without a network, and with no idea how to progress in your career. Please share your story with our listeners in your own words, Bessent.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for mentioning my heritage. As you said, it's something I'm very proud of. So it's always nice to speak about. But yeah, I'm just Bessent. I grew up in Saudi Arabia. I'm originally from Egypt. So I've actually been an immigrant my entire life. So moving to Germany was kind of a given and kind of something that you always kind of leave home when you're an immigrant over and over. So it has been a huge part of my life. And like you said, 5 years ago, I moved to Germany to study marketing, Hochschule, here in Germany. And since then, I've gotten the opportunity to work at Adobe and Intel and also going to be starting out at LinkedIn next year. And a huge part of my story has just been learning and just sharing all of what I'm doing and learning with other people so they can also progress in their career. And I just love career development and all of that. So that's just a bit of my story.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. That's definitely a great intro into today's topic on how young professionals can set themselves up for success in their careers. And obviously, you're a very impressive young lady. As a student, you won L'Oréal's Studentpreneur competition. You won your alma mater's Best Diversity Thesis Award and landed internships and gigs with companies like you're just mentioning, Intel, Adobe, most recently LinkedIn, but also Zalando, which is obviously a big brand in Germany. And in early 2020, you started your own career and branding coaching business. And with your very authentic voice, which I absolutely love, you have amassed a following of more than 30,000 people on LinkedIn. How did you get to that point?
Really good question. It's all a blur, but I will try to find bits and pieces. I think ever since I've been very young, I've always just gone for things. So like back in high school, I remember I went for stand-up comedy show and I just started doing stand-up comedy because it's something I really wanted to do. So whenever I have a goal, I just go for it like 100%. So I always say that's how I've always gotten to this point. If I've ever wanted to do something, I just go head first and I just jump into the deep end. And I think specifically with LinkedIn, how I got to 30K followers was actually a bit of a long story. Some people always think this happened over like a few weeks or a few months, but I started content creation on LinkedIn when I was 21, which was 2 years ago. And I just started seeing so much potential in the platform. And that's specifically why I started. And I started very small. I was writing like book reviews about like all the career development lessons from books that I was learning. And then slowly I started speaking about myself, speaking about like exactly what we're talking about, like all the achievements I've been doing, how I'm doing them more importantly. And then slowly I started speaking about my job search hunt because that was taking a bit of a long time and I was getting rejected just left and right and here and there everywhere. And I was just learning so much from that process and job and recruitment in general. So I just started to share it more and more. And I noticed people were just, so many people were listening, whether it be people in the US or like my dad's age or, you know, people in India, Japan. People just found so much comfort in me sharing what I was doing. And I just kept doing it for 2 years. So whenever, for example, I won the Diversity Thesis Award at my university, that's something I share with the lesson. Just a matter of me always learning and then sharing whatever that is in a really authentic manner. It's not, oh, you can achieve anything you want if you put your mind to it. It's more, it's going to be hard. This is what's going to happen. This is what you do. You make sure that you're resilient and all of that, and then you can achieve your goals. So it's more of a realistic approach, I like to think, to career development advice in general. But essentially, that's why I'm here. And I think also with, you know, the big elephant in the room of 2020 in general, a lot of people needed that hope. A lot of people needed that voice that would give them that hope, especially right now, that even though we're in a very dark place together, we're going to get through this regardless of what's going on. If you put in the effort and you work smart, not hard, more importantly, you will make it through. It's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. But essentially, a lot of people just found a lot of almost like a light at the end of the tunnel through my content. And that's what happened.
Awesome. And I couldn't agree more with you. I think this year has added a lot of valuable perspective to all of us. So that's why I think your content specifically resonates with a lot of people, because you're just sharing your real experience, your real voice. It's so easy for people to just share, oh, I just landed a job at LinkedIn. Like, hey, look at me, I'm so great and all. But actually, like, sharing what it took for you to get to that point where you were rejected, like you're saying, left and right, that's not something that a lot of people are willing to share, right? There is sometimes a lot of embarrassment associated with rejection, but your voice is so authentic that people just gravitate towards it. And when I was, you know, preparing for this interview, I was scrolling through a couple of your LinkedIn updates, and I just love it so, so much. I mean, you were sharing kind of what happened to you, but then what you were also just mentioning a few moments ago, always like a couple of lessons and learnings that you can take away from that experience that you had, in the hope that others will not make the same mistakes or will not end up in the same, you know, emotional like hole that you were finding yourself in initially after those rejections. And speaking of rejections, you had to deal with some rejections early on when you were interviewing with companies like Google, Facebook, Salesforce, and I know initially you were also rejected by LinkedIn. And you very vulnerably shared on LinkedIn that oftentimes you felt like an imposter, you didn't have any interviewing skills, and were scared of networking with strangers. However, at some point, a mind shift occurred where you started to become kinder to yourself and also more strategic about approaching networking and the job search in general. Tell me more about that mindset shift.
Absolutely. It was a process. I remember when I worked at Intel, I didn't even think I could even like go for, you know, the Googles and the Facebooks of the world. I always thought, you know, I'm me, I'm a small person. There's no way I can get there in general. But then I had a really powerful female mentor at Intel just tell me, you know, do the crazy thing. You're an incredible person. Just go for it. And then slowly, I just started to realize that this kind of fear and me limiting myself more than anything was really setting me back from a lot of opportunities, because it wasn't even just me telling myself like, no, you can't work at Google. It was completely out of my mind even that that was even a possibility for me. So it was through the support of a lot of people that they showed me my potential. They said like, you can go for this. It's not about your background or anything like that. If you have value to give, and it's just a matter of tapping into that and, you know, you're young, just go for it. And that's something I always tell people. Like, it doesn't matter where your background or circumstances are or your age. I think when you're a young professional, a lot of people limit themselves because they think they're not capable of a lot of things. So I remember very distinctly my first time networking was at Intel at like a company dinner. And I was just pacing across the hallway back and forth next to my manager. And I was like, what do I even say? There's nothing that I would say to people that would be like helpful or, you know, entertaining in any capacity at all. And she just told me, just talk to people as people. And I think Intel really set me up for a lot of success because it gave me the opportunity to speak to big stakeholders in a very human capacity. Because I think when you don't have that initial interaction as like a student or a young professional, you think that they are alien-like and completely different than you. But we're all a lot more similar than people think. And eventually, when I got back to university after that internship, I was looking into opportunities for me to get positions at these big companies. And I realized that networking was inevitable. I had to do it. Whether I liked it or not, that was an essential part of recruitment. And, you know, an essential part of life. Because I always say, relationships are what make the world go round. It's not like your background or anything like that. Who you know and who knows you is what's going to change the game for you. And that's kind of like what really started shifting my mindset. So I remember when I went to a marketing conference, and again, I was doing the pacing around my room. Should I go? It was 8 a.m. I was trying to decide between should I go for it or not. And I did, and I was terrified. But that's okay. I always say confidence and essentially being a powerful person isn't you not being scared. It's a matter of bypassing that fear more than anything. And actually, when I went to that conference, I met a recruiter from Google and I met a recruiter from LinkedIn who essentially set me up for success now, 2 years later. And it was just me thinking about like, this is my goal. I'm going to do anything that it takes to get there. And it's just a matter of pushing yourself. I'm also actually quite introverted, which a lot of people don't see, but essentially I would rather be by myself more. I get my energy from being alone. So it was very tough to do that and think about like, what value do I have to offer, which was also a process, right? It's not me just knowing right from the get-go, this is my story. This is what I really want to amplify. This is what I need to talk to people about. It was a story and it required like a lot of practice. It took time. And eventually I'm at a point now, thankfully 2 years later from when I started, where it comes a lot easier. But with everything, it comes with practice. So some advice I would give based on that story essentially is it takes time, but it's important to push yourself and to try more than anything, because there will be times where people won't want to network with you. Or I remember just at that same marketing conference, I was trying to network with someone at a company. And when he realized I was a student, he basically like pushed me away and said, like, we're only doing sales here, which is totally fine. But it's just very important to push past rejection, whether it be a job, whether it be networking, and to just keep your eye on the goal. Because I always see rejection as a way to kind of redirect yourself, to learn on what you need to do next. And to just keep perfecting the process for yourself and not to expect perfection from the beginning. I know that's super tough. I'm myself a big perfectionist, but it's so important to push past the fear, push past rejection, and then get to your goal through just empowering yourself and uplifting yourself rather than kind of pushing yourself down. Because I always say you're your own only warrior. No one's going to step in if you fall down. And if you are doing the fighting and you're fighting yourself, you won't have any energy for the actual battle, right? So it's so important to use yourself as like, you're your only ally. You need to do this and you need to push for. But that's essentially how I got to this point.
Wow. I just love that growth set of yours. Obviously, it took time. This wasn't a thing that happened overnight, but I just loved listening to you talking about how you developed your skill set over time and you overcame your fear of networking. And actually, there's something I wanted to highlight what you were telling at the beginning of your story, how important a female mentor was in your life. I think sometimes when we feel like an imposter and we feel like, oh, I don't know how to interview, I don't know how to network, sometimes we just need that outside voice that is telling us, no, like you can actually do it. These are only, you know, human beings who might be insecure themselves and don't know how to have these normal conversations with other people. So I just love that. And then couldn't agree more with what you're saying about, again, the human piece. I feel like a lot of people our age, or, you know, college students and young professionals, they're so afraid of reaching out to people who on paper look like so much more accomplished or older and wiser and whatnot. But at the end of the day, they're only human beings, and nobody can thrive in isolation. So these people who are now, you know, older and accomplished, maybe C-level executives at companies, they were once in our shoes. They were once students trying to land a next internship, trying to land a full-time job. And they once were supported by people who were more accomplished and older than them. So in my personal experience, you know, having had a lot of informational interviews with people from my alumni network and from companies that I was previously interested in my experience, these people really want to pay it forward. And yes, here and there, you will face some rejection. But like we were saying earlier, that's also a great learning opportunity. You just like get up and like keep going. So really love to hear how positive your experience turned out in the end. Do you have any other advice on how people, especially our age, who don't know how to effectively reach out to people and conduct informational interviews, like how can they overcome that initial fear and just like get started? Because I feel like that's oftentimes the biggest barrier.
Yeah, I think it's good if you ease into it. I think that's something that really helped me at the beginning, in the sense of, you know, if you find someone who's really inspirational to you, take the time to get to know them a bit, in the sense of, okay, follow them on LinkedIn first, see what value they're providing, perhaps like on their profile. If they're sharing content, maybe add discussion pieces to their content, add value. I think most importantly, if you kind of tap into what value you have, it's so life-changing, in my opinion. So, for example, once there was this VP at Microsoft that was so inspirational to me on LinkedIn that I really wanted to connect with. But like, oh, he had like 200K followers. It was just very intimidating. So I just took it slow. I followed him first. And then slowly I started just adding discussion points, because he's really into marketing. And he was talking about millennial marketing in general to a bunch of other people his age who weren't millennials. So I was like, you know, I'm a millennial. I can add value to his discussion by just tapping into what I think in general. And he really appreciated that. And he actually just connected with me himself. I didn't have to do anything. And, you know, we've met in person now and we're very good friends. So I think the first thing is, you're never going to know until you try. And I think if you don't take that shot for yourself, it won't happen anyways. So if it was 50%, it turns to completely zero. So you're discrediting yourself. And I think it's very, very important to spend some time kind of understanding that value that you have to provide, because every relationship needs to be based on value. And I think if you take the time to put value into another person and to develop a relationship with them to some capacity, you won't be as afraid. So, you know, if you spend time and you have a really close best friend and you have like a favor to ask or a question, it's not like a daunting experience, right? It's easygoing because you're friends. And if you spend that time developing a relationship and tapping into, you know, just even the smallest of things. So I had one mentor who's very accomplished as well. Again, I like fangirl and get intimidated whenever I speak to him. But, you know, just asking him how he was, he opened up and mentioned that he was having some mental health struggles. And all I did was share an article with him about like how to notice these things or how to bypass them. So it doesn't have to be anything huge. Even a small thank you or a small article of value to the person, doesn't have to be you yet to process, of course, but the smallest of things build a relationship. It's just a matter of taking time and, you know, finding those things.
I love how intentional you are about reaching out to people and connecting with people. And just to let you know, I know you still have some time before you officially start at LinkedIn, but as you might know, relationships matter is one of the company's core values. So I think you'll do just fine. And the examples that you're just bringing up about the VP of Microsoft then actually sending a connection request to you, you know, in the world of sales, we call it like an inbound lead. That's the most amazing opportunity that you can get, because obviously you added some initial value and then that person recognized that value and followed that unconscious call to action that you had kind of subconsciously placed in his mind, right? Because it resulted in the exact outcome that you had hoped for, maybe even more. So that's a wonderful story to tell. And I also love that story of how you were sharing that article on mental health strategies. I'm sure he valued that quite a lot. In one of your recent LinkedIn posts, you wrote, "Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity." And I just love that Seneca quote so much. Let's unpack that sentence by applying it to your unique journey. We're already talking a lot about that mindset shift, about networking, about connecting with people in a meaningful manner. But what other types of preparation allowed you to achieve success once the time was right?
That's a super good question. I think when I first got rejected from Google, Facebook, LinkedIn at the beginning, I didn't know what to do. I was just like, do I just give up? Do I try again? How do I go about like preparing for my next career move, essentially? And it was just listening to a lot of feedback. So from the feedback, I realized that there was potential for me and I could move forward. It was just a matter of better timing, or essentially, you know, the luck that we were just speaking about. Like I needed to prepare more and then a new opportunity to arise. So essentially what I did is I actually took a complete step back. I did another internship, which was really hard for me as a grad, to be honest, because I just wanted to, you know, spring into the world and to start working, essentially. But I took the step back. I worked at Zalando in account management because I come from a marketing department and I was trying to pivot into sales. And that was proving difficult because I didn't have the necessary sales experience. And I realized that in the interviews, right? I was like, I don't know what they're talking about. I need to kind of take a step back, learn about this a bit more, and then try again. Essentially. So I took a step back. I did an internship. I learned so much about account management and sales and a lot about my own sales strategy and style in general. And then what I did was I also was taking certifications. I was learning also in my own free time more about sales. But I think what made all the difference in terms of preparing was I kept in touch with everybody in those rejections, right? So I kept in touch with everyone at LinkedIn for my rejection, all the recruiters at Google, all the hiring managers at Facebook. I just made sure that since I had the time now, I can really build a long-term relationship with everybody. So when an opportunity did arise, I would be prepared 100%. And when September came along after May, which was when I was getting rejected, and LinkedIn had opened a role that was completely perfect, like 100%. And it was in Arabic, which is my native language. So it was completely perfect. The nice thing was because I was prepared, I had the exact necessary experience. And also I had a lot of people rooting for me internally. So I remember when I got into like the second or third interview, 10 people sent in emails advocating for me to the recruitment team and the program manager and everybody. Because they were all kind of rooting with me for like an entire year. They knew me from my content. We were friends more than anything, not just, we did just have a business relationship. Essentially, when I got lucky, when the opportunity opened, I was 120% ready for it. And, you know, no one can say position would have opened or position would not have opened or all of these things, but if you have a dream, I always say, like, go for it 100%. Make sure that you are investing a lot of time. If there are any gaps in your experience or any gaps in your skill set, it's very important to upskill. It's very important to take the time to maintain relationships. So when the time comes, it's not awkward when you're asking for a referral or if you're asking for a favor, all these things. And that helps with all the preparation process. And, you know, it's always a common theme in my life that things just take longer. I always compare myself to like my schoolmates or people who are my age who just moved a lot faster than me. But for example, when it comes to my diversity thesis award, I actually did not get that when I was supposed to. I really wanted to get a thesis award at the beginning when I graduated, because that's usually when it's handed out. But I actually got it a year after. And that was because I just made sure I was kind of marketing my thesis a lot. And when the opportunity did come, when they had a separate new thesis award just for diversity, I was ready and I just enrolled into the award. So I made an opportunity for myself in a way. And I just really believe that luck involves that kind of proactivity and just making things happen for yourself as opposed to just waiting for things to happen. But that's essentially how I created my luck. Yeah.
I love how proactive you are and that incredible story of you having become friends with a lot of people at LinkedIn. And then a year later, when time was right, you had so many advocates within the company. And at that point, it became probably impossible for LinkedIn to reject you a second time around. So I'm wonderful. It's wonderful to hear that this worked. And I think that's a perfect example of the quote we're referring to, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. Love that story so, so much. And I'm just curious because, again, going back to the topic of relationships and being really intentional about it, that's something that I value so, so much myself. But obviously, over time, over the past couple of years, I've met so, so, so many people from different paths of life. And to me, sometimes it can be difficult to navigate so many relationships all at once. What I did is I actually started writing a quarterly newsletter that I'm now sending out every 3 months to, you know, family members, friends, former college classmates, mentors, former professors, coworkers, and whatnot, because that gives me the feeling that I still have some kind of control over those relationships. But on a one-on-one basis, it's sometimes really, really tricky. Do you have any tips on how to stay in touch with people where you feel like, hey, if I keep investing in that relationship, maybe we can continue to add value to each other's lives?
Yeah, absolutely. It can be super overwhelming. And a lot of young professionals are always asking me, like, I'm networking so much and I don't know how to go about the whole thing. And it is super tricky. I love the networking and the newsletter idea, to be honest. I've never heard of that before, but I love the idea. But what I would do is I actually had an Excel sheet and I would mention when the last time I spoke to someone was, and I think LinkedIn is such a powerful tool in general for this, because you can stay in touch with people in a very organic and kind of more casual way. It's kind of like just the chat. But I used this Excel sheet just very extensively. I made sure I would touch base with people every few months, just like you. And also what I would do is, if, for example, an article I saw related to people in a certain field, I would make sure to send that out to all the people on my list who kind of relate to that field or specific job. And I would also make sure I keep in touch with people over holidays or things like that, because it's very important. And I do have a bit of a really good memory, so I think that's also very helpful. If I see something that's relevant to someone I know, I typically send it to them. But I think it's good to have some tools that also aid in just remembering people and making sure. But I think if you have a friend group, in general, you're very proactive with them and you're always trying to share things and you're remembering them when you see something, it's very much so the same, I think. Of course, it's a larger scale and with a lot of different people, like you mentioned, but that's kind of my philosophy with it.
I love that. I actually had one of these Excel sheets myself in the past, but then at some point I just started neglecting it because it became too overwhelming for me, but I should probably get back into that game again sooner rather than later. And Vicente, you were mentioning earlier that you've always been someone who's very proactive. You know, you're mentioning you just went for stand-up comedy when you were still in school. So you're a natural go-getter. And I feel like we are quite similar in that sense, because we both love to proactively seek out opportunities for growth. Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we both firmly believe that one opportunity, one new connection can lead to another even more incredible opportunity. However, in my experience, this mindset doesn't randomly appear overnight. It's a muscle that you have to train over time in order to actually be able to harness the fruits of your labor. What advice do you have for young adults on how they can train that muscle?
I think it involves a bit of imagination at the beginning, in the sense of it's very important that you can visualize yourself doing these different things and then going for them. And I think the one thing I've always had personally is that kind of imagination. So the stand-up comedy kind of idea came from just an idea that popped in my head. Like, what if I did this? What if I went on stage and I actually just did it? And that's exactly what I did, to be honest. I realize it is a muscle that was trained, but I really cannot pinpoint a certain time or something that I did to kind of train it. It was just something I've always did. If there's an idea, I just go for it 100%. And I think something that limits us from doing these ideas in general, because we always think like, what if I was a celebrity? What if I was doing this? All of these things. And I think we first off limit ourselves. And the second thing is we kind of usually think about like, what would people think, or what if I fail, essentially. And the one thing I always do is I just go for it. And it's not that I don't care what people will think, because I very much do. It's just a matter of I really work hard towards succeeding. So for example, when it came to the stand-up show, essentially, I went for it. But I made sure I was testing my jokes before I went on. I made sure I had a test group at the beginning. So I'm personally not like, I don't like taking risks. And I think what helped me is if I want to do something and it's very risky, I'll make sure I'm prepared enough to go into it confidently, in a sense. So it's very important that you kind of have a combination of all these different things, that you kind of make sure you're going into things prepared. Because I think you're really capable of doing anything. Like, if you set your mind into something, I'm a big believer that you can do it. It's just a matter of not pushing away an idea. Because I feel like every idea I've ever had has spurred something else in a way. So my biggest advice on this would be like, if you have an idea, really look into implementing. If you've always wanted to start a business, do it. I think some people will think like, I'm too young, or this isn't the ideal career path, or this isn't something I would be good at. I think our brain is really good at sending us messages in a way. And if you have an idea, you need to go for it and just like give it your all, do the research, prepare, all of these different things. Because I feel like everything I've done has spurred from an idea and just the drive to do it. So it's important to kind of take baby steps. Don't kind of go into stand-up comedy, of course, right from the get-go. I think that would be really scary. But, you know, if there's an event that you want to go to and you think it would make like meaningful connections to you, like online, go for it. But just go in with a plan. I think that's very important. Look into the people who would be going, for example. Make sure you know who that is. Make sure you have your resume ready, for example. But it's just important to have an idea and work towards it more than anything. And I think in that sense, learning how to strategize does take a bit of time. So I remember at the beginning, I went to the conference without my resume. So when a recruiter did ask me, like, do you have your resume? I was like, no. But that led me to know that the next time I went, I needed to have my resume prepped and I need to know who would be going, all these different things. But that comes with practice. But I think the idea part is what we need to kind of run towards a bit more, I think, when we're young.
I love that. And as I was listening to you talking, not just, you know, these past like 2 or 3 minutes, but this entire half an hour or more than that we've been talking already, I feel like we're the same person, Basant. Like everything that you're saying resonates with me so much, and I just remember going through the same thoughts in my head that you're just outlining as part of the answers to every single of my questions. So yeah, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I think what you're saying is fabulous. And you all listeners out there, you should listen to what Basant is sharing with you, because that's some really, really valuable advice there. And Basant, I was briefly mentioning it earlier in the intro. You are a personal branding and career coach as well. You started your business in early 2020. People can find you under the hashtag BasantBlast. How do you conduct your career coaching sessions? Like, what's your philosophy on career coaching?
So essentially, the reason Basant Blast is a thing was because back in high school, my counselor told me, Basant, you're a small pack of dynamite, but you have so much impact as a person. And the reason he said that is I have a very squeaky voice. I am very, very tiny in person. And usually people don't think much of me when they see me. And I've just used that as like my superpower, that even though, you know, I'm an immigrant, I am a foreigner, I come from like not rich kind of background, all these different things, I do not limit myself. I make a big impact with what I have, regardless of what it is. And that's where my career coaching business came from, in the sense of, regardless of your background, regardless of what is going on, you can make it, you can make a big impact. And my entire philosophy is the back end part of recruitment. So I do help with resumes and interviewing and all these things. But very quickly, I realized that, especially with the women I work with, is there's always an underlying reason and a problem almost why a person is not selling themselves or is not showcasing their value a lot. So even though I help with resumes and interviewing, my philosophy is essentially teaching people how to fish rather than giving them the fish right from the get-go. So we do a lot of exploring into, you have a great resume, but you're not really like putting in your impact. Why is that? And we really dive deep into the underlying issues of why people are doing what they're doing. And it always stems from, you know, confidence issues or perception issues of themselves or these different things. So my philosophy essentially is looking into those things and looking into how we can create an empowering experience for whoever it is that I'm coaching and really demonstrate their value and their skill set. And yeah, I really do love my work because I get to work with people who are just like me. And the reason I started was because I noticed people did not have a support system and are not as lucky as I was. So, you know, the reason I bypassed rejection was because a Google hiring manager actually reached out to me and told me, like, you need to try again. You need to push past this and you need to try again. I didn't like get past the first time. And I'm telling you, you need to try again. And I just noticed most people don't have that experience. And I just really wanted to give them that through my coaching, just to tell them, like, you are capable of this. It's just a matter of really showcasing your skill and making sure that you're being vocal and direct, because I think a lot of people struggle with that. But I love my work so much. It's just so fulfilling. And, you know, I'm just so happy waking up.
I'm so happy to hear that, Basant. And I know you have impacted so many people's lives already. So thank you for everything that you're doing. It's wonderful. And I can certainly relate to that feeling of fulfillment. I recently hosted Rock Your Profile session for my alma mater, where I showed the students how they can improve their LinkedIn profiles and leverage the power of LinkedIn for their career search or job search. And it just felt really, really great to be able to share best practices and to be also really open and vulnerable with them. Like, part of the session was me sharing all of the mistakes I had made in the past when it came to applying for jobs. So I can definitely relate to what you were saying. And also going back to what we were saying initially about, you know, you being a tiny person, like, I just want you to know, and obviously you have established like a really great brand online and you have a huge following at this point. So I'm pretty sure that that helps you, but don't let anyone ever tell you you're not good enough. Don't let mm-hmm. anyone ever like silence your voice, because you're amazing and you deserve to have a voice and you deserve for people to hear you. And yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, girl, because it's fantastic.
Thank you. What I love about that is people's expectations are pretty low. So, you know, all of a sudden, for example, like at school, I didn't say much. And then, wow, like I was doing like speeches. I was like screaming on stage. I was throwing money around. Like I think it's important to realize that about you, to make a big impact in a sense. And thank you so much for your kind words. And it's just so important to know these small things about you, so you can make that big impact, you know?
Yeah, and I love that you were able to turn something that to most people would appear as a weakness, you turn it actually into a strength, right? By taking advantage of people's conscious or unconscious biases, right? So I just love that so, so much. And then maybe the last question for today, Vicente, if you could go back in time, and if there was one piece of advice you would have given your younger self on how to set yourself up for success as a young professional, what would that be?
Ooh, I would say do not let your circumstances define who you are. And, you know, this could be your background, your appearance, kind of like what we said, all these different things. Do not let them define you and make you feel a certain type of way about yourself. So just as an example, 2020 has been a really weird year for the entire world. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people are taking everything that's going on to heart, that, you know, it's my fault I'm unemployed. It's my fault I have these circumstances. It's my fault I'm a foreigner, when it's completely no one's fault. And, you know, these circumstances that are happening are completely uncontrollable. And I think throughout life, a lot of young professionals take these small things to heart, which is totally normal, completely. But it's important to define what is uncontrollable and what is controllable. So is me being a foreigner my fault? 100% no. This goes back to processes and things that are completely out of your control. What matters is how you take those circumstances and make them something impactful and powerful. And I think what really defines us, you know, collectively and individually, is how we respond to things. So it's not about you being a foreigner, or it's not about you being unemployed, or, you know, all these different things that are circumstances that are unfortunately really hard to get by. What really matters is how you, as an international student, for example, were able to bypass certain things and think outside the box and work smart and all these different things and be resilient, and you made it through. And if, for example, you lost your job, unfortunately, this year, it has nothing to do with you. It's just the state of the world at the moment. And what matters is what you're going to do next, how you're going to stand up after falling, and how you're going to make things happen. And it's super difficult. I think the easiest thing people do sometimes is blame themselves for the things that are going on around them, because that's the only thing they can control, their perception of themselves and their perception of everything going on. But very important to not victimize yourself, to see yourself as a powerful person. Because I think if you also make yourself small based on all these circumstances, you do unfortunately become smaller, because you're making your box smaller, the box around you, I mean, and everything around you, it just makes you smaller. So it's important to look to these circumstances as an opportunity. And of course, I'm saying this very easily right now. It's so tough at the moment. But how are you going to grow from this is what I want to ask you, as opposed to what is happening to you. And it's just so important to look past these kind of boundaries we create for ourselves, and to just, yeah, use these things to uplift and empower more than anything.
Those are wonderful words to end with for today. Thank you so, so much for joining me today, Basant. I really loved our conversation, and I'm so sure that your amazing advice has inspired some of our listeners to take action and to become more intentional about setting themselves up for career success.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I had such a fun time. And you are an amazing interviewer.
Oh, thank you. You're so kind. I really appreciate that feedback. Awesome. Well, and to all you wonderful people out there, today is your lucky day because our FemHive listeners get a 10% discount on Basant's coaching sessions. We're going to link to her request form in our show notes, so make sure to check that out. And in order to secure the discount, make sure to list FemHive Podcast as your answer to the question, how did you learn about Basant Blast Career Consulting?
And that concludes our show. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Since we're just starting out, it would be amazing if you left us a positive review on Apple Podcasts and shared FemHive with all your female coworkers and girlfriends so we can empower as many young women as possible. Make sure to also follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm Tamina Stoll, and I hope you will be tuning in again next week. Take care, ladies.